Good evening. Oh, I think we can do a lot better than that. Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. You've all been working really hard today in this nice September Saturday, type of Saturday we've been waiting all summer for. Now we're taking care of fall things outside. Hopefully your day went well. Your projects went well. I was telling Jean, asked how I was. I said, well, I'm here. I said I had one of those days where all of my projects didn't go smoothly. A half-hour project ended up taking up most of the afternoon. Things go that way. And that's sort of what happens in our gospel reading this evening, which is the basis of our meditation tonight. Jesus and Peter and James and John have been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. The rest of the disciples are left down below. They're sort of left in charge of things while Jesus and the other three are gone. And the disciples, prior to this, Jesus has sent them out. They've taught. They've proclaimed his word. They've done some healing. They've had some success. So, hey, we can handle anything. Or so I suppose they thought. And a man brings his son to the disciples. Of course, he says to Jesus when he asks why the crowd's gathering, I came and I brought my son to you, but you weren't here, so I had to deal with these fellows here, these nine disciples that you left behind. And they weren't able to heal him. They weren't able to handle things like they thought. And Jesus, if you hear the words that Jesus responds to the crowd, to the disciples, to the Father, and remember, this is coming up close to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus sounds a little terse, doesn't he? He sounds a little irritated. How long am I going to be with you people? How long do I have to put up with you? We don't get that way at all, do we? At least we would think that Jesus shouldn't be that way. I mean, after all, he's come down from the mountain. Sort of come back from a little vacation. He should be ready to go. Moses and Elijah have talked with him about what's coming at Jerusalem, about his death on the cross for the salvation of the world and his resurrection. Jesus should be pumped to go to that. But you know what? He's human also. And when we encounter things in our lives that are going to be out of the ordinary, which are out of our usual routine, which are life and death situations, we get a little testy too, don't we? We get a little irritable. We've got that surgery coming up then. The doctor says, well, everything will be okay. It's just a routine surgery. But it's not just routine because it's happening to me. It's not happening to 100 others or 1,000 others. It's going to be happening to me or to my spouse or to my child. And we get just a little bit irritable because we're anxious, we're concerned. I'm not suggesting that our Lord is anxious and concerned about going to the cross, but it's a big event, and he is human. And we'll see him suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking his Father to take it away, if possible. So he's got that on his mind. He's got the cross on his mind. He's got his death for the salvation of the world on his mind. And here these disciples decide they're going to take charge of trying to heal somebody. And they can't do it. And the Father's a little upset because now it's making Jesus, well, is he really the Savior? Is he really the Messiah? Or is he just sort of a fly-by-night huckster? So Jesus says, bring him here. Of course, the Father says before that, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, please help us. Those are not the words of faith, are they? If you can do something. And Jesus really shows his irritability. If I can do something, you're talking to the Son of God. You're talking to the almighty, powerful Word that brought the universe into creation. If I can do something, he says, all things are possible for those who believe. Now it triggers in the man's head. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Now I'm sort of a skeptic. There's part of me that wonders how much this father really believed and how much he really just wanted Jesus to come through for him, or at least for his son. And that's my own shortcoming, to be suspicious. But anyways, Jesus says, bring him here. Now there's more of a crowd coming, and of course you have those scribes there that are raising trouble. It's like, oh, your disciples, they don't wash their hands, now they can't heal anybody. And Jesus sees this big crowd coming, and it's going to look bad, so he, quick, does the healing. Casts out the spirit that was possessing the young man, leading to his destruction. Now everybody thinks he's dead because he's lying there like a corpse. And Jesus takes him by the hand, raises him up, gives him to the Father. Goes into the house to get away from the crowd, and the disciples ask, well, how come we couldn't do it? How come we couldn't heal this man? How come we couldn't cast out that demon? And Jesus says the last words of our text. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. That demon couldn't be driven out by the disciples on their own. Which is what they thought they could do. They thought, oh, we healed those other people. We cast out other demons. We can handle this on our own. But they couldn't. They forgot to pray about it. They forgot to pray for God's blessing, for God's power, for God's will to be done. Which leads me to think that before I began my projects today, I should have spent a couple of moments in prayer. Lord, help me to get these projects accomplished. If there's better use of my time, then make that known to me and I'll put these projects on the back burner for a while instead of consuming the whole day on it. But I thought, simple project. Even if I'm not mechanically inclined, I can handle these. It must be the hardware that I got that isn't quite working right, or something. Can't be me. But it isn't just projects. There's lots of things in our lives that we forget to stop, step aside, take the time to pray. Bill Hybels wrote a book, Too Busy Not to Pray. We go, oh Lord, I don't have time to pray. I got to be at this meeting. I got to be here. I got to be there. I got to take care of mom. Got to go and visit so and so. And we're busy, busy, busy. We're busier now with all these electronic gadgets and things that are supposed to simplify our lives than what our parents or grandparents or great grandparents were. And you know what? I'm guessing that they probably enjoyed life a whole lot more than what we maybe enjoy life. Because we're so busy, 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 busy. And sometimes God is just saying, hey, stop. Settle down. Take a moment. Talk to me about it. And then go on. This kind cannot be driven out apart from prayer. We look at our world, and it's falling apart, isn't it? It's like nobody knows what's going on. We look at the church. We look at our congregation, and there are things that appear to be not working quite right. And maybe God's telling us, you know what? You can't just go out and try and fix it on your own. You need to spend some time in prayer. Pray for God's guidance. Pray for His direction. Pray for His wisdom. Pray for the power of His Spirit. And pray for His will to be done. Because my will or your will may not be God's will. In the end, it turned out okay, didn't it? The man was healed. Sometimes in our lives, things turn out okay, even in spite of our lack of prayer, our lack of faith, our doubt, our wavering. But again, it reminds us that it's not our doing, but it's God's doing. And the most important thing that needs to be done in our lives, we're powerless to do. The most important thing in life is to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior, to turn from our sin and repent and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And we can't do that on our own. God has to do that. He does do that in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, as we hear His Word and as that power of that Word works in our lives to make us aware of our sin, our need for a Savior, and also to show us what great things God has done for us in our Savior. And then having had that great work done in us, again, it's a cause to set aside time to pray, give thanks and praise for the great things that God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. The projects in life may not always go smoothly. There may be those moments when we're facing those things that we would much rather not face, that make us testy and irritable with one another, with those that we love, with those that we care about, and we say things and we do things that are hurtful in our anxiousness, our irritability, and then we need to be reminded that God has also given us forgiveness of those things. And to turn to one another then in love and forgiveness and repentance. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the time that I should have given you because I was anxious or concerned about something else. Let's try that again. Last week, we read that Jesus did all things well. He's done all things well for our salvation. And that we give Him thanks and praise for. And so, sometimes, God gently reminds us to sit down, take some time for prayer. Because not everything can be done by our power alone. But we must rely always and ever upon His rich supply of power at work in us and through us. Primarily for the communication of the gospel to those around us who are still dying in their sin and unbelief. That's primarily why God calls us to be His people, so that we can communicate that with those around us. May God grant us that and the wisdom and the knowledge to set aside that time to pray about things. And when we're in our haste, may He gently remind us and call us to that time of prayer. Amen.